Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY 2024 conference call of Precoal Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Precoal Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2024. Before we begin, let me mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's earnings call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Vikram Mohan, Managing Director, Mr. P.M. Ganesh, Chief Executive Officer and Executive Director, Mr. Siddharth Manoharan, Director of Strategy, and Mr. Priyadarshini Bastia, Chief Financial Officer. Without any further delay, I request Mr. Mohan to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
A very good evening on behalf of the management team at Precoal for the investors call for Q1 of financial year 24. My name is Vikram Mohan, the managing director of the company. Joining me on this call today is our CEO and executive director, Ganesh, our director, strategy and project, Siddharth, and our CFO, Priya. I'm sure all of you would have had a chance to see the presentation that has been uploaded. Some of the key financial highlights this quarter: we've had a revenue from operations of 522 crores or 5,221 million and EBITDA of 66.5 crores or 665 million with an EBITDA margin of 12.74%. We have had a profit after tax of 319 million or 31.93 crores with a PAT margin of 6.12% and a basic EPS for this quarter of ₹2.62 per share. We have also clocked a cash profit of 50.97 crores, which is almost 51 crores for this quarter. At a consolidated level, our long-term borrowings are nil in this quarter as against 65 crores that we had in the same quarter of the last financial year. At a debt equity level, we are almost a debt-free company. Including our working capital, our debt equity stands at a very low number of 0.11. Some of our key business highlights: a couple of important awards came our way. Suzuki Motorcycle India gave us the best supply chain management at their annual supplier conference held recently. We received an award from Ashok Leyland, the commercial vehicle manufacturer, a prestigious supplier Samrat award, where we were judged number two in the, among their supplier base for proprietary parts. We also received from the World Manufacturing Congress a Most Iconic Organization Award. We have started investing heavily in modernization to meet the growing needs of our customers and changing needs of the business, and we will continue to do so in the next few quarters as mentioned by me in the last call. Company is on a firm footing with a strong order book, and we look forward to good quarters in the coming year, barring any external factors which we do not anticipate. I'd like to hand over the call to our dynamic CEO, Ganesh, to take it forward. Thank you. Ganesh, over to you.
Thank you, Vikram, for setting the context. Good evening once again to all of you. We have outperformed the market. I'll just give you some market information. When compared to the previous year, same time, Q1, the market has marginally grown by about 2.64%, against which recall growth has been 19.54%. Just to give you the context. In the export, we have grown by 41.72% when compared to the previous year quarter. As we explained during the previous investor call also, the value add of recall has been growing steadily. The same driver information system what we supplied 5 years back, transforming from mechanical to MCDs and now to TST, the value addition is what is giving us to perform better than the market. On the quarter-on-quarter sales, actually we have clocked 517.68 crores as against 501.13 during the last quarter. This is the highest ever sale for recall during Q1. And on the select products, you have seen the some of the new launches, whatever we have made. We have started a new business for the MMHCV, the new cluster, which has been launched by Tata Motors from Q1 of this year. And also on some new clusters for Tata Motors for the passenger vehicle as well for the CNG version. Also, we have launched some new products for Force Motors. And Bajaj Auto has come out with their new three-wheeler. You are sure that you have read in the papers. For that, we have developed a new instrument cluster. That's it for me from the business introduction side, and then over back to you, Vikram, and for the questions. Thank you.
Gentlemen, would you like to begin the question and answer session?
Yes, please. Some ground rules for the question and answer to give everyone an opportunity to ask their questions. May I request that participants restrict themselves to a single question at a time, and once that is answered, to rejoin the question queue for their subsequent questions so that everyone is given a chance to participate in this call. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Kaushal Kedia from Wolford PMS. Please go ahead. Mr. Kedia, your line has been unmuted. Please unmute it from your end and proceed.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, please go ahead.
Hello.
Good evening, Kaushal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible? Hello.
Yes, you're very audible. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. So we...
The second largest manufacturer of DI systems in the world. So I just wanted to understand, is it because... what is the reason as in... Is our supply chain in place, or we have some kind of patents, or is it because we are our products are superior to other players? Is something what I wanted to understand.
Kaushal, this has been something that is not very clear over years, and it's not been an overnight achievement. Globally, the largest player is Nippon Seiki, primarily driven by Honda, I think one of the largest two-wheeler makers in the world, and Nippon Seiki is present globally. Having said that, Precon has constantly been working on the vertical of two-wheelers to develop the latest technologies and offer them to our customers. And we supply over 20 two-wheeler makers in India and globally, which has given us the second largest position globally in two-wheeler driver information systems, where we are able to offer the latest generation products at optimal cost. This has been driven by our continuous innovation. We have 440 engineers in our product development and process development team. So out of our total 900 white-collar employees, 440 are dedicated for product and process development, which gives us an edge over many of our competitors.
So the participant seems to have disconnected. We will move to the next question. So before we move to the next question, we've just received feedback that your audio is sounding distant. If you could come a bit closer to the instrument.
Is it okay now, ma'am?
Yes, much better, sir. Thank you. We move to the next question from the line of Chirag Singhal from First Water Capital. Please go ahead.
So the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand on your FY26 target projection of 4,000 odd crores of revenues. So how much of the incremental sales will be coming from the product premiumization, and how much of it will come from the increase in the volumes?
Chirag, if I understood you right, we are given a guidance of 4,000 crores for FY26, of which 3,600 crores will come through organic means and 400 crores through inorganic means. We have assumed a certain conservative growth rate in the market from now until FY26 in our product segments, and confirmed LOIs that we have received, which is showing us a visibility for 3,600 crores. There are three categories. One, there is certain phase out of end of life cycle, which we will see revenues going out. And as my CEO mentioned, a large part of this growth is going to be driven by premiumization of the product for which we have already received LOI. And also the third category, new product launches or new business wins with customers or product segments that we have not entered into. So that's how it's going to be classified. Now, this would be a very long question if we start going into each category. If you can write to us, we will be able to, or set up a separate call, we will be able to go into more granular detail.
Sure, sir, I'll do that. That was helpful. My second question is on the EV side.
Can I request the basic housekeeping rules that please come back into the queue for the second question so that others are given an opportunity to ask their questions, please?
Sure, I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, a reminder, you are requested to restrict your questions to one during the initial round. We have the next question from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes. Good evening, Garvit. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Sir, my question is on semiconductor side. So basically, semiconductor story is building up in India, and PLI scheme is also there for TFT display fan. Companies like Vedanta and LS had proposed the investment in this area.
However, can you go a little slower, please? Your voice is garbled.
Okay, right. So I was talking about the semiconductor story that is getting built up in India. So my point is, what I believe is TFT is something for which Pericol is having in-house technologies. Although right now we are doing for auto sector, so in future, do we have any plans, or is it possible that we can enter into display fab or something like that, supplying to the semiconductor industry? Are we having such capabilities, or the two things are totally different from each other? How do you look at this, sir? Kindly help me to understand.
Completely different. We are as different as chalk and cheese. We are an information systems company, primarily a driver information systems company. We aspire to get also into industrial information systems by way of gauges, purely through inorganic means if the right target comes by. Semiconductor manufacturing in India, for it to reach fruition and some degree of stability, is, I think, at least 3 years away, because it's massive investments, capacity building and stabilization. So that's not an area that we are looking at, and it is completely a very, very different direction from in which we are have aspirations for growth.
And can you put some color on the addressable market which we are targeting in battery management services and through Cibro's? And in that market, what kind of share are we looking to gain?
With Cibro's, it is not in battery management systems, it's with connected.
No, no, I was talking about both. I am talking about both BMS as well as whatever we are doing with the Cibro's.
So that's because BMS is a different vertical. Cibro's is a different vertical.
Right.
The proof of product is ready in both the cases. We have just started the roadshows to the customers, and I think in about 2 quarters from now, we will have much better visibility of what we are hoping to achieve. Having said that, as I said in my earlier call, the revenue from these relationships, we are really expecting it to kick in only after FY26 with very minimal numbers taken for even FY26. So it's not going to be very material in the next 2 years for our revenue guidance of 3,600 crores.
Understood. So that's for that I will be in the phone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Hemant, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Mr. Hemant, please proceed.
Yeah. Congratulations on a very good set of numbers, and thank you for providing me the opportunity. Sir, when we are targeting to double our revenues to 4,000 crores by FY26, we just wanted to understand, this 2,000 crores of incremental revenue, will it be evenly distributed over a period of 3 years, or how will it be? How much growth we can expect in 24, 25, and 26?
As I mentioned once again, out of the 4,000 crores, we are expecting a 3,600 crore top line through organic means with whatever LOIs we have and what market growth projections and the new businesses that we intend to enter where we are already engaging with customers like disc brakes, etc. And we expect it to be fairly evenly spread over this period, plus or minus 5%.
You mean to say, sir, if we have done 2,000 crores of revenue, so ideally it should be a 30% kind of growth year on year, right?
It's not going to be a 50% because there is an inorganic element to it. So if we have 3 years to go from the last year's number to the number of 3,600. And the inorganic will happen when the right asset comes at the right value and if it is going to be value accrual. So the organic is going to be 3,600 crores.
You mean to say that organically it will be evenly distributed inorganically when the opportunity comes, right?
Exactly.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kaushal Kedia from Wolford PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, you have mentioned about the e-cockpit. So can you explain what this is? Is this like an infotainment system which will be put in the passenger vehicles?
I will request Ganesh to answer this question.
Yes. E-cockpit is nothing which is coming in today's new generation cars, where you have one side, you have the driver information system, the other side you have the infotainment. Both are like very seamlessly integrated, something we call as a silver box design. It is nothing but you have the electronics common for both, and it drives both, and you have the screens different. That we call as a complete solution, whatever you see in the dash, both on the infotainment and also on the driver information system. With the TFTs and touch screens, we call the whole system as an e-cockpit.
So have we started supplying this already, like to any OEM?
It is currently under development with certain OEMs, and we will be launching it maybe in the next 3 to 4 quarters from now.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the question queue.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Shashank Kanodia from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Just wanted to check how is the semiconductor situation right now, and if the supply situation has eased, did it had any cost benefits for us in this quarter?
Shashank, good evening. As I have mentioned in my previous calls, we always believe that by September 2023, the situation will completely ease and come back to normalcy, and which is exactly what we are seeing today. And the price advantages from this is also starting to have an impact on our EBITDA and cash flows and cash profits, as you can see, which is only going to get better and better.
Right. So, sir, we had some 250 basis points of gross margin expansion, right? So, this kind of trend is sustainable for us as in terms of RM to sale?
Can you please repeat?
So, this quarter we had something like 250 basis points gross margin expansion quarter on quarter, right, from Q4 to Q1. So, this kind of run rate in terms of RM to sales, is this trend sustainable going forward, or you think?
I always maintained that a long-term sustainable EBITDA for our product mix and our customer mix is somewhere in the region of 13.5% to 14%, which is where we are hoping to achieve in the next couple of quarters and then sustain thereafter. Because if you are familiar with the automotive industry, you launch a product at a fairly high EBITDA, then it reaches optimum production, and then it starts reaching end of life where the margins start eroding, because there's a year-on-year discount that you need to offer during the life cycle of the product. And so there will be products with high margins, there will be products with stable margins, and then in the phase out there will be lowering margins. So we anticipate that 13.5% to 14% is sustainable EBITDA over a long-term period for our current product mix and customer mix, and which over the next few quarters we will reach there and stabilize at that level. What we are really driven by is our cash profit and free cash flow, which I think is pivotal to the growth of the company and providing capital for the growth of the company.
Sure, sir. Thank you. That sounds right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity, and I missed the initial comments, so please excuse me if I'm asking a repeat question. I just wanted to know, has there been any increase in contribution from passenger vehicle segments, you know, if there have been more contracts or business development with them? And you know, going forward, when we are giving a guidance of 36 billion, what is the mix expected between DICVS and ACFMS?
I will answer your second question first. DICVS is expected to be between 60 to 65%, and ACFMS is expected to be between 35 to 40%. This is a guidance that I've maintained in my last two calls and continue to maintain, because that's the forecast for the next 3 years for us based on the business pipeline. In terms of, has there been increased revenue from four-wheeler personal passenger vehicle segment over the last quarter? It has just mirrored the growth of the company, and there has been no extra growth coming from this segment. We are working with certain four-wheeler personal passenger vehicle manufacturers on value-added products like Tata Motors and a few other personal passenger vehicle manufacturers. The incremental revenue growth other than market growth is going to come after a couple of quarters and not right now.
Thank you, sir. I have more questions, but I'll join back.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So, can you break the revenue between from two-wheelers and four-wheelers, sir? And what is the contribution in this quarter of actuation control and fluid management systems?
Vipul, good evening. The ACFMS division, as we call actuators, controllers, and fluid management system, contributes about 35% of our revenue. Two-wheelers contributes about 60% of our revenue. About 35% of our revenue comes from, 30 to 35% comes from commercial vehicles and off-road vehicles, and the balance for four-wheeler passenger, personal passenger vehicle, which is the car segment.
Two-wheeler is 35%, sir, you said. Is it correct?
60%. 35% is, or 30-35% is from commercial and off-road vehicles.
And 60 is two-wheeler, 35 is commercial vehicle, and
50 is commercial and off-road vehicle.
What so that becomes 95, then actuation is 35, so... No, no, sir. The
can I just intervene and explain to Bipul?
Yeah, please.
I think we are mixing the segment and the what they call product mix. See, between the ACFMS and the driver information system, as Vikram explained, it is like 65 and 35, okay? 65 has come from the driver information system and about 35 has come from the ACFMS. I'm just giving you an overall view. And if you go into the product segment, or what I call vehicle segment, the two-stroke three-wheeler is about 60%, and 35%, the bunch comes from, which when I say 60%, it includes the ACFMS and driver information system in the two-wheeler. Okay. And the 35% is coming from the remaining segments, like you have the commercial vehicle, then you have the tractor segment, then you have the off-highway vehicle, which again consists of both the driver information system and the ACFMS. Okay. So 60 plus 35, 95. The remaining 5 is coming from personal passenger vehicle. This is the overall broad system.
Yeah, so just for clarification, so actuation control and fluid management is inclusive in both when you get to give two-wheeler and commercial vehicle percentages, right?
All product segments, both the divisions, DIS and ACFMS, serve all of the product segments of vehicles.
Okay, okay. I'll rejoin the queue, sir. I'm still not satisfied anyway. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anisha Mahawar from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. So first, I just wanted to understand, exports were supposed to play a big part in us reaching the 3,600 crores of organic revenue target by 26. What is the number for the current quarter, and are we on track for that to be 20% plus of our revenue? And also the split that you were just giving between DIS and the other products and the two-wheeler TVS sector split.
Time, ma'am, alluding to your exports, our vision and desire is to get to 20% of revenue being export-driven. And even in earlier calls I have mentioned, that is one area where we have failed. And we feel we are lagging, and we are only at around 10% today. And we are looking at filling the balance inorganically. That has been mentioned by me in a few other calls previously also. If there has been one strategic failure vis-a-vis our vision, this is one area.
Does this impact the 3,600 crore target there? Because 20% was part of the 3,600. And also, do we export only DIS?
We expect both, we export both segments, DIS and ACFMS. In fact, ACFMS is a little bit more geared towards exports, and no, it does not affect the 3,600 crore target. The 3,600 crore target has been taken into account with the current LOIs that we have received and market growth and anticipated LOIs and new product launches, which are on the anvil.
Okay, I'll get back in the queue for my second question.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Harini from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand what are the capex spends that has been done in the quarter, and how do you or how much do you budget to be done in this year and to achieve the 3,600 crore targets?
As I mentioned in earlier calls, Harini, we have anticipated a capex of about 600 crores, almost entirely funded by internal accruals over a 30-month period, of which already three quarters have elapsed. 400 crores of this capex is for organic growth to take us to 3,600 crores, and 200 crores of capex to take us to for the inorganic growth.
Understood, sir. Is there any CapEx spend that has been made in the current quarter?
Every quarter. The 400 has been split over 10 quarters, of which 3 quarters have already elapsed and 7 more quarters to go. So this 400 crores will be spent over every quarter. We have approximately spent about 35 crores of CapEx this quarter.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nishant Parikh, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Congratulations and good set of numbers. So this is regarding post-Mindar's acquisition of 15.7%. They send a notice to further increase the stake to 23 or 24% odd to CCI. And post that, we filed a writ petition in Madras High Court. And now, couple of weeks back, one of the petitions was dismissed, allowing CCI to take on the matter put by Mindar. So now, what measures are we contemplating to, you know, sort of protect minority shareholders and help prevent us from Mindar coming on board with greater stake?
I'll give you a two-pronged answer to that. One, the writ has not been dismissed by the Madras High Court for your information. Only the injunction has been lifted with the writ continuing to be held and a further hearing date posted with CCI asking, with the Madras High Court asking CCI to revert with their observations. So that's number one. The company has taken all measures to ensure that legally we are protected, and the current management whom I represent have also taken all measures to ensure that we stand in control of the company. And since the matter is sub judice, I will not be able to disclose anything more at this point of time.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of CA Galvith Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow back. Just a clarification on what is our target in terms of R&D spending as a percentage of revenue for FY24?
We continue to spend between 4 to 4.4% of our revenue on R&D. When I mean R&D, we divide it into two: product development and process development, because we as a company firmly believe we need to have best-in-class products and best-in-class processes to deliver such products at the best quality levels at optimum price to the customers. We continue to spend between 4 to 4.4% of our revenue on product and process development, and emphasize that we will continue to spend this sort of numbers in the coming years to give us a lead over competition and continuing to keep ahead of the technology curve.
Understood, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vijay Sumku, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you and congrats for a good set of numbers, sir. So just wanted to check on the R&D spend that the company is doing. So we are spending almost 4 to 4.5% on the revenue. So can you give us some insights in terms of what are the new products that are that the company is venturing into, and what is the market size of it, if you're able to give some insights on that?
This is a very long answer, which will probably warrant a half an hour of discussion. I think if you can set up a call with our CEO, he'd be happy to take you through some of this. Some of it is sensitive because it's IT-related, which we will not be able to talk about. But I think we can pass this and, you know, take it for another day, where you can write to our investor relations department and set up a call with our CEO or visit us, and we'd be able to take you through this.
Perfect. That works. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kush Nahar from Electrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Thank you for this opportunity and congratulations on a great set of numbers. So my question was regarding this labor-related case that is going on. So I think as per the annual report, the latest annual report, the amount is increased to around 47 crores. So I just wanted you an update on that. I think it has been increasing since the past 3 years. So I don't know about that.
What is this, sir? Can you repeat again? You were not very clear. I could only hear the number 47 crores.
Yeah. So my question was regarding the labor-related case that is going on. So it has been increasing since the past 3 years. So I just wanted an update because I think 2 years back it was around 27 crores, which has increased to 47. So
I will request our CFO Priyan to answer this question, please.
Hi, Kus. This provision is increasing because number of years are increasing, Kus. It is for the number of years we are pending to pay them, so we are making provision in the books for those many people for number of years, which is getting extended.
Okay. So our judgment is that there won't be any liability, right? If I'm right.
Pardon me, Kush, you are not very clear. Can you speak a little slowly, please? Hello?
Kush,
are you on the line?
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, please go ahead. No, you asked the second question, which is not clear to any of us.
Yeah, so my question was that just in follow up on that. So as per management estimate, it won't be a there won't be any material effect on the financial statement, right?
We believe there will not be, but this is the consequence of the 2009-10 labor issues, which have been subjudice for now almost 12-13 years. So you know, on the right side of the law, we keep making the provision, and it's a long-standing judicial case. Having said that, 16 cases, which was a large chunk of cases, have been settled out of court and settled and spent and expensed in the last financial year also. And we expect the same thing to happen over the next couple of financial years and close salary.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Kaushal Kedia from Wolford PMS. Please go ahead.
There's a disconnect for me to understand. Since we spend 4% on R&D, why are we afraid of making more than 13% margins on EBITDA? If we are spending so much of innovation, and last time you had mentioned that the DI systems that we make are in between build to spec and build to print, why aren't we able to make more? Because other companies that are just process companies are making, auto entry companies are making 18-19% margins.
The reason is obsolescence in electronics is extremely high. So constantly we need to keep developing on the new generations of chips. Gone are the days when you started working on a chip and had a life cycle of 5-6 years for that chipset. Today chipsets and processing powers of chips are literally every year changing. So constantly to keep pace with technology and display systems, we need to keep spending that money. Someone else in another context was asking me, when software companies are making 25% EBITDA, why a company like Precon, where software is only a subset and you're developing an entire product, you can only make 13 and 14%. That's the nature of the automotive industry, where, you know, we are not able to make a hell of a lot more than what our customers are making, because end of the day, when the customers come back on price increasing and, you know, the competitive landscape.
Okay, sir. Fair enough. Thank you very much. And, sir, thank you for your patience. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Richa from Equity Master. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question is related to non-auto industrial clusters. Is this something that we can think of developing internally, or will we need, you know, an acquisition to enter that area? That is first. Second, if I may, what is the share of EV as of now, and based on letter of...
Please, as I mentioned, let's restrict it to one question at a time. Can we enter the non-automotive information systems space? The answer is yes, because we have all the technologies required to enter that space. In fact, that space works on technology that's at least 5 to 10 years behind where we are. But why we need to go for an acquisition is because the kind of selling is completely different, completely. It's all about distribution, scale, and warehouses, and reach globally, which is not something Precon is used to, because we are an OEM company with a bunch of customers, very large volume. That is very small volume, thousands of customers with large scale distributorship, dealership, warehousing globally. That's the reason we are going to acquire that market size and not for the technology.
Understood. Thank you so much. Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Sir, what is the contribution of products newly introduced during last 2 years in our turnover?
It's approximately 25%. It varies between 20 to 30% per annum, but averaging about 25% per annum.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anisha Mahawal from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity again. Sir, we said a large part of our growth will be driven based on the LOIs we have in hand. Is it possible to provide some color on it? What is the LOIs we have in hand? Are they starting in 24 or 25? Or the mix, maybe, are they higher? Are they skewed slightly higher towards EV? Any color like that?
I would not like to talk about this because a lot of the LOIs are confidential along with the customers, so I would not like to comment about it, ma'am. But it is based on LOIs that we are building our capacities and building our capabilities. And as far as the driver information system is concerned, whether it's EV or IC, it's of no consequence. A lot of people have been asking me these questions because I said it's information being provided to the driver of the vehicle. So whether it's EV, IC, fuel cell, hydrogen, it's propulsion agnostic, our business. So we are not worried about what form of propulsion it is.
No, I didn't mean whether it's IC or PV. EV, I meant PV or two-wheeler or CV, that breakup, is that changing? And if you can't comment on the quantum of the LOI, maybe you can say, you know, is a substantial part of it expected to start, say, H2 of this year, early next year, just to get some indication.
25%, like I mentioned, would be new product growth year on year, which is what we achieved last year and will achieve in the next couple of years. As much as, and we are working with multiple EV players, we believe that the barring Ola, for strategic reasons, we have decided not to work with Ola, as I mentioned in the previous call. So as the penetration of EV happens, our growth in that area also will happen because we are working with a whole host of EV players, both conventional OEMs and the new OEMs that are emerging.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Hemant, an investor. Please go ahead. Hemant, please go ahead with your question. Your line is unmuted.
Yeah, thank you for providing me the opportunity again. Sir, did you say 3,600 crores organically? It means 80%? And the second is...
Yes, 3,600 crores organically with the LOI new product introductions that we have anticipated and with reasonable market growth.
So it is basically 80% of the current run rate.
Pardon me?
80, right?
What are you talking of?
So, basically, it is...
Slower and clearer, I'm not able to hear you.
Since we clocked 2,000 crores of revenue in FY23, so it is basically 1,600 crores of incremental revenue.
80%
for the next 3 years, yes. Yes. And, sir, what is the current status on the CCI case? Sorry,
the matter is subjugated, and I would not like to comment about it.
Can you come again, sir?
The matter is subjugated, and I would not like to comment about it.
Okay. Thank you.
We will move to the next question from the line of Vaibhav, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just wanted some color on the opportunity size for your products in the electric vehicle space. And five to seven years from now, how much percent of your revenues would come from the EV space? Thank you.
As I mentioned earlier in the call today, we will, whatever is going to be the penetration of EV in the Indian market, we will be maintaining the same rate of growth in the EV because we are in a propulsion agnostic automotive systems business. And we are engaging with almost all the EV players of repute and scale and size out there.
Okay. 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 Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Like you mentioned, most of your growth is going to come from premiumization. So does that mean that your capacity utilization volume-wise will remain pretty much in the same level from now until FY26?
No, I think, Utkarsh, you've got me wrong. I said there are three kinds of growth that's going to come. One, because the existing products will reach the end of their life cycle and new products will replace them. One will be from premiumization of existing products. Third is launch of new products like disc brakes, etc. So we are creating capacities for new products. We are creating capacities for premiumization. And we are eliminating capacities in mechanical and other products that is not that will go out of vogue.
Okay. There will be certain new
growth of capex is to meet the needs of these three buckets to hit 3,600 crores. But we are creating a capacity for about 4,000 crores, not just 3,600 crores.
Okay. So the capex will be spent on creating more capacity and kind of switching current capacity to
meet the changing needs of the business as we move from a mechanical to electromechanical to an electronics company. The same machines cannot be used for the same product. Disc brakes, for example, a new vertical needs a completely new manufacturing ecosystem. Existing plants have to be debottlenecked to make it more efficient. Modernization of some parts of the plant to deliver the requisite quality levels. So it's a combination of everything.
Okay. And when you say 3,600 crores, do you mean that in FY26 you'll be operating at optimum utilization?
No. I mentioned that we are creating capacity for 4,000 to 4,200 crores, and 3,600 crores is what we are anticipating in FY26.
No, Mike, actually, I'm trying to understand that when you tell us your 3,600 to 4,000 target, are you considering that you will be operating at optimum capacity utilization and optimum premium products, or will there be scope for more volume and more
capacity utilization? For someone, it could be an 85% capacity utilization. We are creating capacity for a broad product mix of 4,200 crores, of which we are expecting about 3,600 crores to get utilized and deliver revenues in FY26.
Okay. And can I squeeze in one more related question, if possible?
Maybe you can come back onto the queue, please, because that's the housekeeping rules we've been following for the rest of the participants.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Vipul Kumar Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. All these joint ventures or technical collaborations like Cibros, BMS, all those are exclusive or means they can tie up with some other manufacturer also. So some color on this will be really helpful.
A, they are not joint ventures, they are only technical collaborations, and they are exclusive to Precon for India.
So in India, they will not enter with any other other manufacturer, right?
No.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Webhav, an investor. Please go ahead.
Regarding the asset turns, if 5 years from now, 50% of our revenues comes from EV, do you think our asset turns will, basically increase over time?
Can you repeat your question? You were not very clear. Assume that 50% of your revenue comes from EV. A, I don't think so, because I don't think EV penetration in India is going to be 50% in the next 5 years. That's the fundamental premise I believe in. I may be wrong. Accessors, I don't think are going to have any impact on whether it is EV or non-EV. It is just one more form of propulsion, after which is going to be hydrogen, after which is going to be fuel cell. I don't think it has any link with the asset terms of the company.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I think we have answered a fair bit of questions covering the entire gamut. We thank you very much for your participation and asking a whole host of questions. And we look forward to connecting with all of you in the next call when we are done with the Q2 and H2 of FY24. Thank you very much for your participation, and we look forward to seeing you all soon. Good evening.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Precol Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.